Enron is investigating reports of more document shredding, this time at Enron headquarters in Houston. In a statement tonight, Enron attorney Robert Bennett said the company is looking into allegations that documents may have been shredded after a government investigation of Enron began. It's unclear if the documents were related to the company's financial troubles. With the first congressional hearing into the collapse of Enron scheduled for Thursday, a lawyer for Enron chairman Kenneth Lay is trying to put Lay's stock dealings in a new light. In an interview with the New York Times, attorney Earl Silbert said that Lay was selling Enron stock last year because he needed the money, not because he lost faith in his own company. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
Earl Silbert is a former Watergate prosecutor. He's saying that Lay was using his Enron stock as collateral to borrow for other investments. As Enron stock plunged, he had to sell because the collateral was losing so much value. Silbert was said to be in meetings in Texas today. He didn't respond to interview requests. But with congressional hearings primed and ready to go, this version of events doesn't seem to put Lay in any better position. Republican Congressman James Greenwood of Pennsylvania chairs the House Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations.
Mr. Lay and all of the top officers had a responsibility to allow people to know what was truly at risk when they made these investments, and they failed to do that. I think they will be judged accordingly.
In the Senate, North Dakota Democrat Byron Dorgan will chair a hearing February 4th at which Lay has promised to testify.
I don't know why Mr. Lay sold his stock. I do know that it wasn't only Mr. Lay, it was virtually all of the officers of the corporation. They were busy selling a great deal of stock while making really millions, and in some cases tens of millions of dollars. And at the same time, others were being set up to take huge losses, employees, investors, and others.
Enron went from being America's seventh largest corporation to its largest bankruptcy ever. Now it's the target of a remarkably large number of congressional probes. They'll be looking at all sorts of angles, the stock sales and vaporized retirement funds, document destruction by Enron's auditor, the Arthur Andersen firm, possible regulatory failures, and Enron's political ties, especially to the Bush administration. But as they rush to unearth the facts, the investigators themselves are in an awkward situation. Enron, Andersen, and Citigroup, Enron's biggest creditor, have been among the most generous donors on Capitol Hill. In fact, of the 254 lawmakers on the investigating committees, just 12 got no campaign money from Enron, Andersen, or Citigroup. Most of the 12 are either liberal Democrats or junior Republicans. That's according to an analysis by NPR and the Center for Responsive Politics. Congressman Greenwood says his colleagues can play it straight, and they will. But he adds a caveat.
Having said that, I think most members can conduct themselves honorably. On the whole, I think we would be better off if the American public didn't have to worry about whether our campaign contributions given to members of Congress or the administration have any effect on this investigation.
Nobody on Capitol Hill is volunteering to step aside from the probes, but there has been a steady stream of Enron money flowing out of congressional campaign accounts.
Money might buy you love, but it can't get people to commit suicide for you.
John Samples at the Cato Institute says lawmakers will overcompensate for having taken the contributions.
They're going to be looking to the next election and saying, being hard on Enron is good politics and may help me at the polls in November. I'm going to be hard on Enron.
Samples says the real paradox here is that Enron worked Washington as hard as it did precisely to get further away from Washington's control.
Businesses inevitably become involved with government, if only to make their case for getting free of government or deregulation, and also in other cases to make their case for special favors or special benefits. So inevitably, one of the problems of big government is that it reaches out and pulls lots of people into it.
Greenwood's subcommittee starts the cavalcade of hearings Thursday morning. Its staff have been plowing through boxes of documents relating to the Andersen audits. Greenwood says the hearing's witnesses will appear, either by invitation or by subpoena. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.